I heard one over there. I heard Daniel, at least. Good to see you, Daniel. This morning I ran off and left my reading glasses at home, so I borrowed Alice's, and I don't really like them very much. So if these don't work, Tom, that's what I was thinking. I might have to go to yours. We'll see if they work. Lesson this morning comes from Exodus chapter 3 and chapter 4. And I've titled it, The Excuses of Moses. So go ahead and turn there to Exodus chapter 3. It's covered in verses 1 through chapter 4 and verse 17. The Excuses of Moses. When God appeared to Moses at the burning bush, he called him to a monumental task of leading the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. I'm going to have to take these off. These things are confusing me. In response, Moses gave excuses as to why he did not think that he was the man for the job. The excuses of Moses and God's response to those excuses are going to be our lesson for this morning. For in a similar way, we have received a special calling from God. Each and every one of us have received a special calling from God as Christians through His Word. Now, we're not told to go to a country, and we're not told to deliver people out of physical bondage, but we are told to go out into the world and to deliver those who are in the bondage of sin. Mark 16, 15 and 16, Jesus said, "Go out into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned." In 1 Peter 2 and verse 9, it says, "We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." 1 Peter 3 and verse 15 says, "Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and with fear." And so we are told to go out into the world. We are told to show forth the praises of God. And we are told to be ready to give an answer to those who ask of the hope that is in us. Now, I wonder if you're making excuses already. Right now, are you already making excuses? Are you saying that evangelism is the preacher's job? Are you saying that evangelism is for those who have been to Bible school? Evangelism, that's something that the men are supposed to do? Or maybe you're saying, "I'm too young to do it," or "I'm too old to do it," or "I don't know enough to do it," or "I don't have enough influence on those around me to do it," or maybe you're saying, "Nobody's going to listen to me anyway." Doesn't that sound familiar if you've read Exodus chapter 3 and chapter 4? How often do we make those same excuses that Moses made? Now, I want to begin by reading Exodus chapter 3. See if I can use these now. Verses 1 through 10. "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert, and he came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, 'I will now turn aside, and I will see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt.' And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, 'Moses, Moses.' And he said, 'Here am I.' And he said, 'Draw not nigh hither, but put off the shoes from off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, 'I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob.' And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, 'I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt. I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good land, to a large land, to a land that is flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that you may bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. So God has chosen Moses to go before Pharaoh and to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. And God, of course, knows all. And he knows that Moses is, in fact, going to complete this mission. But Moses is not so confident. Moses begins to make excuses. His first excuse is, who am I? Who am I to do this? Look at verse 11. Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Now, Moses was once a member of the ruling house of Egypt. But if you remember, he had fled for his life, and he was now working with his or for his father-in-law. And he was just a lowly shepherd at this time. And he had done that for how long? Think about it, for 40 years. And so looking back on Egypt, that's a long time ago. That's back in his past. We also need to think about the fact that he's an 80-year-old man. At this time, he's already lived longer than the average lifespan of his generation, and so he's an old man. And he says, who am I that I should go and do this thing? Surely he's thinking that's probably somebody else that should be chosen to do this, not me. Others must be far more qualified to do this than me. Somebody else would surely be a better choice, but God chose him, and God does not make mistakes. He does not make mistakes. God's response to his excuse is in verse 12. Notice, he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this will be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. So notice God says, I will be with you. That right there should have been enough for Moses right there. I will be with you. If God is with him, how can he possibly fail? Notice the confidence that God speaks with here. He says, when you have brought forth the people out of Egypt. Not if, but when you have done this, then you will serve, or you shall serve God upon this mountain. If God says, I will be with you, and he says, this is going to come to pass, then we know it's going to come to pass. In fact, it's impossible for that thing not to be the truth. And yet Moses is still making excuses. He's still trying to get out of what God has told him to do. Now, how about us today? Do we do the same thing today? Do we say, who am I today? Who am I to teach others the truth concerning the gospel? Do we ever feel like we are insufficient for what God has called us to do today? We need to remember that our sufficiency is not in and of ourselves. Our sufficiency is in God. 2 Corinthians 3, verses 5 and 6 says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. And you know, God has given us basically the same assurance. He's given the same assurance to those who evangelize as what he gave to Moses. Remember what he said in Matthew 28, 18 through 20? Jesus came and spake and said, all power has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and teach all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And he says, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world or to the end of the age. Amen. God promises to be with those of us who are doing his will. John 14 and verse 23, Jesus said unto him, if a man loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him, and we will make our abode with him. If you love the Lord, and if you're striving to do his word, then the Lord is with you. Romans 8 and verse 31, if God is for us, who can be against us? With God on our side and with His help, surely we can accomplish anything that God wants us to do. Think about that. You can accomplish anything that God wants you to do. Philippians 4 and verse 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. We need to remember, first of all, that God has not called us to do anything that we cannot do. And second, we need to remember that we are not doing these things alone. God has promised to be there with us. Now, Moses wasn't able to see this at first. He's really only focusing on himself at this point. Notice again how he, in verse 11, how he uses the word I. Who am I that I should go and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? But he's not going to do this alone. God has promised to be with him, and God always keeps his promises. God has made promises to us that cannot be broken. Titus 1 and verse 2, Paul speaks of the hope of eternal life which God, that cannot lie, promised us before the world began. Hebrews 6, 18 and 19 says that by two immutable things which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth in to that which is within the veil. So God has promised to be with us, and he's promised to strengthen us, and yet sometimes we forget about that, just like Moses did, and we begin to let doubts creep in. When we begin to doubt what God can accomplish through us, we might want to remember those who went before us, who went through the same thing. There's probably many more of these, but I had just a few of them written down. Think about Gideon in Judges chapter 6 and verse 15. He said unto him, O my Lord, wherewithal shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. But the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with you, and you will smite the Midianites as one man. So Gideon had doubts, but what happened? God, of course, was right. Or you think about David in 1 Samuel 18, 18. David said unto Saul, Who am I? What is my life or my father's family in Israel that I should be son-in-law to the king? And of course, we know how that turned out. David eventually himself became the king. Or Solomon in 1 Kings 3 and verse 7. And now, O Lord, my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David, my father, but I am but a little child. I don't know how to go out or come in. He had doubts, but of course he became a very powerful king. Or Isaiah in Isaiah 6 and verse 5, he said, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And of course, we know Isaiah became a very powerful prophet of God. Jeremiah is another one. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak. I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Do not say that I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. And of course, God kept his word. And so we can look in the scriptures and we can see men who were like us. We can see how time and time again they doubted themselves and they underestimated what God could do through them. Moses was one of them. Just like us, he tried to make excuses. He tried to get out of what God was calling him to do. Let's look at his next excuse. His next excuse is, what shall I say? Look at verse 13, chapter 3 and verse 13. Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? And what shall I say unto them? Moses knew that if he went to the children of Israel, they would have some questions for him, such as, Who is this God that sent you? And what is his name? Now think about that. That's pretty simple questions, is it not? Simple questions. And Moses asked God how he is to answer them. At this time, neither Moses nor the children of Israel really knew God at this time. They knew of God, but they didn't really get to begin to know God until they began to witness God acting, witness the powerful way that he delivered them out of the hands of Pharaoh. Moses should already know the answer to this question, but he doesn't have any confidence, and so he begins to make excuses trying to get out of this task. But he will have no excuse because God tells him exactly what he is to say. So look at the chapter 3. Let's begin to read in verse 14. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together, and say unto you to them, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, and to a land that is flowing with milk and honey. And they shall hearken to thy voice, and thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, to the kings of Egypt, and you shall say unto him, The Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us, and now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not by a mighty hand. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall come to pass that when you go, you will not go empty. But every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourneth in her house jewels of silver, jewels of gold, and raiment. And yet shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and ye shall spoil the Egyptians. So Moses here has no excuse concerning what he should say because God has told him what he should say. Now, do we use a similar excuse today? Do we say today, well, I don't know what to say? And by the way, as we go through these, I've probably made every one of these excuses I don't know how many times. But do we say, I don't know what to say? What if they ask me this? What if they ask me that? But hasn't God already told us what to say? Isn't everything that we need to know about salvation in His Word? Isn't everything that we need to know about the church and about Christian living, isn't it found in His Word? 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. Sometimes I think we worry too much about the details. Sometimes I think we make it far more complicated than it needs to be when we're simply trying to teach somebody the gospel. The gospel is actually very simple. The gospel plan of salvation is extremely simple. You have sinned and you have separated yourself from a sinless God. Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2. Jesus died on the cross for your sins. He was buried and he rose again from the dead so that you could be saved. That's in essence the gospel right there. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4. If you believe the gospel, then you can be saved. by repenting of your sins and by being baptized into Christ. Acts 2 and verse 38, Mark 16 verses 15 and 16. Every single step required for one to be saved, required for one to receive salvation, can be learned even by a young child. Believe, repent, confess, be baptized, remain faithful. So why do we worry about all those other questions that may or may not come up? Men in here and women also that have studied with people, how many of those difficult questions come up when you're sitting down and teaching somebody the gospel? I worried about that for a long time, and those questions just don't come up. If they do, it's extremely rare. So back to Moses, he asked God, "What shall I say?" And God told him exactly what to say in verses 13 through 22. But Moses was not done making excuses. His next excuse is, "They will not believe me." Look at chapter 4 and verse 1. Moses answered and said, "But behold, they will not believe me, nor will they hearken unto my voice. They will say, 'The Lord hath not appeared unto thee.'" So now that he knows what to say, now he's afraid that the people aren't going to listen to him. Is he afraid of being rejected? Is he afraid of being a failure? Has he already forgotten that God has told him that I will be with you? God responds to this by giving him three signs. We remember the three signs. The rod that turns into a serpent, verses 2 through 5. His own hand which turns leprous and then clean again in verses 6 through 8. And then the water which will turn to blood when it's poured on the ground in verse 9. So Moses had all the convincing proofs that he needed, and so this excuse was not going to work. But how about us? Do we make excuses? Do we make the excuse that people are not going to believe us? And do we hesitate to teach people the gospel because of that reason? Is the fear of rejection keeping us from trying? Are we afraid of failing to convince others of the truth? Now, we don't have three miraculous signs, but we do have a lot of very powerful tools that we can use. If a person really wants to learn, if they're truly sincere, then there's all sorts of things that we can give that person. We can talk about evidence for the existence of God. We can talk about evidence for the inspiration of the Bible. We can talk about things that Charles has been teaching recently. We can talk about scientific foreknowledge. We can talk about all the fulfilled prophecies. We can talk about the types and the antitypes, the evidence for the resurrection of Christ. God has given us His Word with more than sufficient evidence to produce faith in an honest and sincere person. Romans 10 and verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. John 20 verses 30 and 31 says, "Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." So God has given us all the tools that we need. He's given us more than enough evidence to take to the people. And that's why he can command us, "Be ready always to give an answer to everyone that asks you the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and in fear." God gave Moses miraculous signs so he would not have that excuse that the people would not believe him. And you would think that Moses would give up in trying to make excuses, but he has one more that he's going to try to make, and that is that "I am of a slow speech and I am of a slow tongue." Men, have you ever made this excuse? In verse 10, Moses said unto the Lord, "O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant. I am of a slow speech and I am of a slow tongue." So Moses says, "I'm not a good speaker. I'm not an eloquent speaker. I never have been, and I am not now." And you can kind of see the fear and the desperation now in Moses' excuses, because he does not want to do what God is calling him to do. And I can sympathize with Moses on this point because I understand the fear of public speaking. I understand the fear of feeling like you're not good enough to stand before people and speak. You're not eloquent enough. The fear of speaking can be absolutely paralyzing. But did God ever say that it was going to be easy for us? Did he ever say we didn't have to overcome fears? No, he did not. This excuse does not cause God to change his mind. God already knows the abilities of those that he calls. He says in verse 11, he said, "Who has made man's mouth? Who makes the dumb or the deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I, the Lord?" God knew Moses very well. He knew what he could and couldn't do. And God will not call us to do something that we cannot do. And besides that, he is going to be there with Moses to help him. In verse 12, he says, "Now therefore go, I will be with your mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say." So Moses tried to use the excuse of not being an eloquent speaker, but that didn't cut it with God. Do some Christians try to use this same excuse today? How many men have held back from preaching, have held back from teaching, because they don't feel like they're eloquent enough? How many Christians have held back from teaching others the truth because they're afraid they might stumble on their words or that they might not say everything perfectly? Correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't know of any verse in the Bible where it commands us to speak God's word eloquently. I don't know of one single verse where it commands us to speak it eloquently. We are told to preach the word, 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2. We're told to speak the truth in love, Ephesians 4 and verse 15. The Apostle Paul apparently wasn't an eloquent speaker. You see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. You know, I had a student that I went to, a young man that I went to school with, Bible school with, and he stuttered really bad. That's how he talked. And he got up and preached and taught lessons. And if you listen to his words, they were powerful lessons. And just the fact that he was up there preaching and teaching was an inspiration to all of us. Moses made a lot of different excuses as to why he couldn't go, but God wasn't buying any of them. And so then, lastly, let's notice what Moses does in desperation. In verse 13, he says, "Oh, my Lord," he basically says, "send somebody else." The ESV actually says that. "My Lord, please send someone else." Moses does not want to go. He's run out of excuses, and now the truth comes out. He doesn't want to go. He wants to try to get out of it. But notice verse 14a. Verse 14a, "The anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said," the Lord becomes angry with those who try to escape doing what he has called them to do. And this is kind of a scary verse for me. He calls you to do something and you continue to make excuses and you just refuse to do it, then you're going to kindle up the anger of the Lord. We can come up with every excuse in the book. We can say, "Who am I to do this?" Or, "I don't know what to say." Or, "What if they don't believe me?" Or, "I'm not an eloquent speaker." Or we can try to put it off and say, "Well, somebody else should be doing this. Let somebody else do this." But the truth is, if we don't get out and do what God has called us to do, then we may be raising the anger, kindling the anger of the Lord. Remember, God has not called you to do anything that you cannot do. And besides that, he has said he will be there with you as you do it. And evangelism is one of those things that every single one of us can do. All of us can do it. And so we need to stop making excuses, each and every one of us. So in conclusion this morning, with Moses We know the rest of the story. God didn't accept any of his excuses, and Moses finally answered the call. He finally went to Egypt, and with the help of God, he delivered the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage, and he became a very powerful tool in the hands of God. But what about us this morning? What about you this morning? Are you still listening, or are you thinking about going home, thinking about what's going to be for lunch? Are you still listening? What's going to be the rest of your story? Are you going to spread the news concerning salvation in Christ, or are you going to make excuses and kindle the anger of God? It's ultimately up to us. I hope that although we may initially make excuses, and I know I've made my fair share of them, I hope that we will finally decide to do what God has called us to do, just like Moses did. And look how that turned out. This morning I asked you, have you obeyed the gospel? Very simple plan of salvation. Believe the gospel, repent of your sins, confess your faith before others, be baptized into Christ. If you have not done that yet, what are you waiting for? If you understand that simple gospel plan of salvation, something that a very young person can understand, and you have not obeyed it yet, what are you waiting for? If you understand it, then obey it today. What excuses are holding you back? If we have any need, if anyone has a need this morning, if we can help in any way, you can come forward as we stand and as we sing.